Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Anybody need a worksheet? Miss getting a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. They'll come around and give you one. Anybody? Everybody good to go? All right. All righty. And man, we're having barbecue pork, pulled pork with all the fixings on next Friday for the Master's Men, so don't miss it. And I have some good preaching. Brother Monk Honke is going to preach for us, right? Isn't that right? Yes, sir. And so we'll have a good time. Be here with us. I hope you'll be here. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. We got through part of this last week, and this is a familiar passage, the parable of the talents. Of course, we were trying to put it into context of the rest of the chapters around here. Of course, chapter 24 is talking about the second coming of Christ. And, of course, that's talking about, that was spoken in response to what Jesus had said when he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killest the prophets. He says, how often should I have not gathered you under my wing as a hen gathered her chickens, but ye would not. And so your house is left unto you desolate. And of course, all that was in response to the fact that he had shown himself sovereign, supernaturally and naturally, above all things, and they refused to receive him. He was the stone that the builders rejected. He was the cornerstone. He's the one that they should be using, and he was the one they didn't want him to be the head. They didn't want him to be the lining up the lines up and lines out. He's the cornerstone. They don't like that. They don't want him telling them what to do. And so they're left unto them desolate. So then he goes through Matthew 24 and talks about all that's going to come. And he refers to the tribulation and so forth and how bad it's going to be. So then he comes to the beginning of chapter 25 and talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. It's talking about those who come to they come and get all dressed up, so to speak. They get all fancied up. They're in for the gathering. They're in for the show and all those kind of things. But they really don't have Christ in them. They don't have oil in their lamp. They don't have oil in your lamp. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not saved, no matter how dressed up you are and how much work you did to prepare. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. And so they said, make sure that you're ready and have the oil. Then we came to the parable of the talents. And so we come to the kingdom of heaven, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them unto his goods. Now, this man traveling to a far country is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And when he left, he gave to his servants a command. He says, I'm going to turn over to you my assets, my opportunities, my job, if you will, everything I have. Greater works shall ye do than I have done, because I go to the Father. He turns over to him the work that he had. As the Father had sent him, he said, so send I you. So he had turned him over to his servants, delivered them through them the goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So he gave it to him, and he ascended into heaven. Okay. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. So what are we talking about? What are we supposed to be doing while Jesus is gone? We don't know when he's going to come back, but he's coming back, and we're going to have to. He will reckon with us, if you will, see where everything all balances out. And so while he's gone, we have a job to do. We are giving things to do to continue his work. Verse 17, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, or look here, there thou hast that is thine. So there you go, that's yours. You've got it back. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful, lazy servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and that I gather where I haven't strewed. Thou wast therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto him every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray, and we're going to do part two of Invest Your Opportunities Wisely. Invest your opportunities wisely. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons it gives us, for the truths it gives us, for the principles of life. And Lord, you're making it clear how we are to please you, how we can please you. Of course, only by faith can we please you. And so we need to do what you've called us to do, even sometimes when it doesn't make sense. Even when it seems we get a little scared, even when we're a little afraid, we need to walk by faith, adjust or live by faith. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here this evening. We need your Holy Spirit to move. I need you to lead me and guide my thoughts and my words. And may each person here also be a spirit-filled hearer to hear from your word. Give us each exactly what we need here this evening. And again, we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I'm going real fast. Last week, number one, we're going to go through the first 2 points here just to kind of bring us up to snuff. I filled those in if you didn't get them last week. So number one, the master gives assets and opportunities to each servant according to his abilities as his responsibility. And so the verse it says, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him the goods. That word in delivered means entrusted. He gave him some things. What did he give him? He gave him goods. That word goods are possessions, but they have the idea of assets to be invested. They are not just things. They're things of value, things that to be invested. These are possessions. They may be assets, they may be abilities when you start to apply it to us. And as says talents, he says he gave so many, gave 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. That word talent there really gives the idea of financial assets, or their personal abilities. There, the word I had for you was opportunities. God gives us opportunities, whether that comes by way of a certain skill, by way of an open door to serve him. God gives us good things to use. Now, he would be here doing that, but as the body of Christ, it's our job to jump right in there and do what he would have done if he was here. Oh, Dr. Jack Howes, you tell the story. He says, I get up in the morning and says, I learned to pray this prayer. Lord, help me to do for those and serve for those who you would serve if you were here today. If you walked in my shoes today, what would you do? That's what I want to do. Well, really, that's what we are as the body of Christ. We should be surrendered to him. Whatever Jesus would have done, if he was walking our path, in our position, as our personalities, our abilities, whatever, if he was in my body, I should do what he would do. But by the way, he is in your body. We are the body of Christ. So we should be the body of Christ. Letter B, we found that the assets and the opportunities belong to the master. He says he delivered unto them his goods. They're not ours. Everything we have comes from, every good and precious gift, perfect gift comes from the Father above, from the Father of lights. We have it because he gave it to us. It's not ours to just simply go out and squander. Now, listen, if God gives you a car to go to work and serve and do what you know, it's okay to take it out and go on vacation. You know, it's okay to use what he's given you. You know, if you like to sing and he's given you an ability to serve the Lord in the choir, it's okay to sing around the house and sing to your kids. I wouldn't go out and sing in a club. I wouldn't go out and sing at the local bar because he doesn't want us squandering his assets, his abilities, his opportunities in such a way. They belong to him. They're his. Letter C, we found to be slothful in the use of the opportunities is to steal from the master. If they're his goods and they are to be invested to bring him increase in his kingdom, then to not use them to bring increase to his kingdom is he suffers loss. So basically, you've stolen what he should have been his. You follow what I'm saying? It was his. He should have had greater assets. God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead others to Christ. He puts more opportunities in front of other people, and he says he gives it to them according to their ability and so forth and so on. But we ought to make use of every opportunity God gives us. We ought to make use of every asset, every opportunity that he gives us. So not do that is to basically steal from him. Letter D, we are entrusted with the opportunities according to our several abilities, it said there. Now, several can mean multiple, but really that word several in this context means associated with. And we talked about that last week. That's why I'm going pretty fast here. But certain people have different skills. We were looking at a vehicle and don't know whether we'll do something like that, but I sent Ron up there to look at that today. It's not going to do me any good to look underneath that vehicle. That's not my thing. Now, be honest with you, I mean, Ron's a good guy, but I'm not sure you're ready to direct the choir. Right? But I'm not going to do me any good to look underneath that van, underneath that bus. It's not going to do me any good to look at that because I don't know what I'm looking at. We have different abilities. And God gives us responsibilities. And the fact is, the more you use them, well, we'll get to that in a second, but the more we use them, the more he's going to allow us to be used. It says it's a several ability. That word several means something that's associated with you. When you think of that person can do this, this person can do that. And it's an ability, and that word ability is actually the word dunamis. It's that miracle-working power, dynamite. You shall be endued with power from on high. That's the word. Just as the man that built all the furniture in the tabernacle, that you go back and read it, God empowered him to know exactly what to do to build the Ark of the Covenant, to build the table of showbread, to build the furniture. He didn't tell Moses to do that. He gave Moses the directions, but Moses gave the directions to the man, and the man had the ability to do it. Now, they needed both Moses and the man who was a craftsman to do that. Both are needed. Different ability, different time, different things. Number two, the character of our person is tested. Now, he gives these abilities, these opportunities, these assets to each of us. And then he says, go use them for me. Now, I'm not saying that the ability was tested. The character of the person was tested. See, there's a difference. He's not testing. We'll say, well, I'm not going to do it if I can't be the best. And I shared that with you last week. I had a problem with that years ago. And I still got to fight with that, to be honest with you. I fight it all the time. I feel like if I can't be the best, I don't want to do it at all. Well, we're not all called to do the same thing. You know, as preachers sometimes, we think, well, I want to be the pastor of the big church downtown. But you got to be careful. Wait a minute. What has God called you to do? In fact, I think some of his greatest servants are probably sitting in the hills of Kentucky someplace with about 50, 60 people because they can't trust anybody else to take that church. You got somebody else who said, I'm not going to stay there if everybody in the state doesn't know who I am. We got to be careful. I mean, but on the other hand, it's not wrong to have a big church. Problem is, just don't compare all those kind of things. We got to be careful with that. Now, in verse 16, it says, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, made them five other talents. Likewise, had two. Number 18, he that had received one, he digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So then after a long time, they came back and he checked them out. Now, letter B on your paper there says, it says they traded. They traded. That word means to work it. He gave you something, now work it. He didn't give you something to hide it. He didn't give you something to put in a closet. He gave you the assets, the opportunities to be used. He gave you the ability to be used. So, well, I'm not as good as everybody else. That's not the point. He gives us the opportunity to be used. Letter B, the first two use their opportunities to the fullest. Use their opportunities to the fullest. They doubled their money, if you will. They worked the master's assets and their opportunities, and they produced for the master. Now, one didn't even bother to do anything with them, which brings us to number three. This is new. God rewards faithfulness and diligence. God rewards faithfulness. Now, I know we don't, I'm not real big on if everybody goes out and they have a big ball game that you, everybody, there's nobody that wins, everybody just gets a participant trophy. I'm not really big on that, be honest with you. However, when we stand before God, He's not gonna judge us on whether the world thought we were winners. The battle is not against each other. The competition is not against one another. We are going to be measured against the opportunity that God has given us and what we have done with that. In fact, to him more is given, more is required. If we're not careful, we can say, well, I did a whole lot more than that person, and still end up looking like a loser before God because they had very little to work with but did much about it. I had a lot to do with it and didn't do a whole lot with it. You know what I'm saying? Now, not that I'm the great one, and I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying, we don't just because of, well, I did more than they did, so I guess I'm good. No. It's what you did with what you were given. Letter A, God is reasonable. God is reasonable. Look at verse 19. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. Now listen, the master has given them sufficient time to invest the opportunities, to invest the assets that have been given to them. He's reasonable. He gives you some time to use it, but the fact is there's going to come a time where we're going to have to face him with what we have and what we've done with it. Reward was not given for the amount of gain that he had. That was not the reward that was given. Look, he said to the guy that had five and got five more, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in little, a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 21. But the fact is, verse 23 says the same thing to the guy who only had two, and only made two. The reward was not given for the amount of gain. Letter C, equal reward was given for equal diligence. Equal faithfulness, if you will. Equal reward was given for equal diligence. Listen, that's why when folks join a church here, we need all the workers we can get. There's always more places, and many hands make light work. And it'd be nice if, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to serve in the nursery more than once a month or once every 2 months? You know, you get to go in, you get to enjoy the church otherwise. I mean, it'd be a wonderful thing. Fact is, we could have a lot of folks who are participating. But the fact is, I tell our folks, I want reasonable amounts of service. I said, I think it's good for every member to be part involved in reasonable amounts of service. One is to get you a chance to know somebody. You make your best friends in the foxholes, you know. Fighting that kid that won't shut up. You know, I tell you, start bonding real quick together when you got one kid you're trying to keep quiet or whatever it is, or that junior high boy just won't give in, or that eight year old, that 10-year-old that just fights you every week, and when we're praying over him, we're loving him and trying to encourage him, and you build friendships like that. And those are good. But the fact is, what's reasonable for one person isn't what's reasonable for another person. I don't expect you to put as much time into the ministry as I do. I'm here every day. I get paid for it. Now, the fact is, and you've heard me say this, when we were young, Janet, you know, she wanted to do everything. If the pastor said something about this, she wanted to do it. Well, if no one else is going to do it, I'll do it. And I said, Janet, we got four kids in a minivan. We can't do everything right now. She was homeschooling, and she was singing in the choir, and she was directing the orchestra, and she was leading the children's choir, and she was teaching Sunday school. And the preacher would say, well, we need somebody to do so-and-so. She's going to try to do that. I said, hold on, I need a wife. You know, we got four kids, and she feels like she's failed the Lord because there was something there, she should have done it. Now, I'm not saying just pass it on. The other problem is you got folks who haven't done anything, you know. And so it's reasonable. Sometimes you got three preschoolers, reasonable is getting to church on time. You know, it's hard. Taking one turn in the nursery a month or something. But, you know, it is what it is. Reasonable amounts of service. God knows your first ministry, ladies, is your husband. Man is your wife. Secondly is your kids. And in fact, the first priority is your own personal walk with God, or you're not going to be able to do any of the rest of it right. So you need to spend time in there. But on the other hand, we don't just sit and soak and sour for year after year after year after year. You know, God gives you something, use it. We're responsible for the assets and the opportunities He's given us. But we're not responsible for the ones He hasn't given us. Don't beat yourself to pieces. Letter D, the reward for faithfulness. Now watch this. This is important. The reward for faithfulness in one's responsibility, what did He say? His Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's a commendation. I didn't put that on there. But thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Should have given you that number one. Didn't think about that. The commendation of the Lord. I didn't put that on there, but you can put it in your margin there. He says, well done. It's good to hear the Lord say, well done. But where you have number one there is joy in God's presence. Kind of goes along with it, though, doesn't it? You know, it's nice to know when the Lord's happy with you. It's a nice thing. I think He's happy with it. I'm not perfect. I've messed up and I've asked forgiveness, but the fact is, I think He's happy with me. I think, and the fact is, there's this joy of being in His presence. Listen, it's the little kid. I'll take it back. The teenager who can't look mom and dad in the eye. In fact, he went up to the room and just before they came home because he hadn't washed the car when he was told to. He's not in having the joy of the presence of his parents. But having done what God has called you to, you even know when we've done what we were supposed to do. And you feel that sense of His presence. It's, you know, well done. That's good. But number two, one of the rewards of the faithfulness in one's responsibility, number two, is possibly increased assets and opportunities to be responsible for. Increased assets and opportunities. Increased assets and opportunities to be responsible for is increased opportunity. Watch. For increased reward. Greater joy of the Lord and even greater opportunities. Listen, you become faithful in little, God makes you ruler over more. You become faithful in that more, He'll give you some more. You get faithful in that more, He'll give you some more. Now, I think I told you the story. There was this guy that came up to Dr. Belcher years ago down to one of the earlier churches that he was at. And he was part of the, he joined the church about six months. And he says, okay, when is my turn to be deacon? He said, what? When's my turn to be deacon? Now that I'm a member of church. He says, well, it doesn't really work that way. Well, sure it does. I mean, everybody gets a turn, don't they? Well, the fact is, you know who our deacons are? Our deacons are ones who already serve. Our deacons are ones who already give. Our deacons are already ones who, I mean, that's what deacon means, isn't it? Diakonos means table waiter. Now, the fact is, that's not demeaning. That's being a servant of the Lord. And God says, you be faithful in little things, I'll make you ruler over many things. There's too many preachers out in the world here. They get out of school and they want a position. What they need to do is find a place to serve. I told you a story about Tom Sexton. He got saved and he was married. He was a stonemason, and he got all fired up and he showed up at church in his lime green leisure suit and his ponytail and his lime green Good News for Modern Man. That's what he went to church. But he got saved. And he knew that, and he asked the preacher, "Is there anything I can do?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I want you to do." He says, "Between Sunday school and church, a lot of folks go through the restroom. So, why don't you go in the men's room, make sure that there's plenty of paper, the toilet paper's filled up. If there's any problems in there, clean it up for me." Now, this is Dr. Tom Sexton, pastor of Gulf Coast Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. Has been there for years. You know, spoken on many national platforms. We've had him here. This is Dr. Tom Sexton, but he wasn't Dr. Tom Sexton. He was Dr. Tom Sexton to be. And he served, and he cleaned the restroom as an adult, made sure it was ready. And the Lord blessed him. That's the way it works. This is the way it works. You don't start at the top, you start at the bottom. There's too many people also wait and say, well, as soon as I get a position, then I'll start preparing. Mm-mm. Listen, if you've ever hired help, you want to hire somebody who's got some experience and knows what they're going to do. Unless you're hiring them for low man on the totem pole. We're going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, we ought to be willing to take any kind of training we can get. Listen, a guy who really wants to learn how to redo car bodies, you know what he ought to, if he's got a passion for that, he ought to learn how to clean up around the car bodies that have already been done. He's going to watch. He's going to learn how to sand. He's going to learn how to do the dirty work. He's going to learn, listen, well, I want to paint the stripes on. Well, let's start with sanding. You got a hand? I think I can find a piece of sandpaper that'll fit it. You know? I got a broom handle that'll fit your hand. If we're not willing to serve, God says, listen, I'll give you a little bit and let's see what happens. You get faith with that, you'd be surprised. In fact, I will reward you with more opportunities. The more opportunities you have to serve, the more opportunity you have for more rewards. Listen, we ought to live life like this. We're not trying to hit peak right now. We need to live life like this. I want to just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. When I end, I want to end on the high. I don't want to peak early and then do this the rest of my life. I want to just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. So that he gives us opportunities. Number four, I want you to see the ungodly perspective of the slothful servant. The ungodly perspective of the slothful servant. Let me read this for you here, beginning verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. I know what you're like. Whew. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strewed. Now, is the master really a bad guy? Well, the ones who were faithful were rewarded. Not only were they rewarded, but they were promoted. You know, listen, in fact, by the way, Christians should not just work to get the job done. Christians should always be ready to work. I mean, their secular job. Work to do their job and more. And more. Why do you think Joseph got promoted the way he did? You go back and read that. We ought to be the most responsible, hardest working people out there. Because that's what Jesus would do, and we're the body of Christ. We're showing him who Jesus is. Now, from the very beginning here, I told you, who is the master represent? The master here is representing who? Christ, our master. Now think about this. Let me give you another letter A, and I'll get in that second. Letter A, the slothful servant failed to invest in the opportunity he had been given. And I use that word on purpose. He failed. Not because of what he brought in or didn't bring in. He failed because he didn't use it. What the master gave him were good goods. It wasn't some slip-slop, run-of-the-mill thing they're kind of sliding under where they bought from China. Nothing against Chinese people, but you know what I mean. It wasn't some kind of thing they're just trying to slide by. What he gave them was a something of value. And he failed to invest. Listen, if it's a value, it will return. Listen, the word of God will not return void. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder bone and marrow, and it knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, the word of God does what it's supposed to do. Listen, God has given us some great valuable things besides the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to do his work. And we don't use it. It wasn't the goods that failed. It was the one who was told to invest the goods that failed. This man who only had one, he had the least responsibility. And it would require the least effort. And yet he still did not even tend to that little bit. Well, you know what happens sometimes? Well, if I had a big talent, right, where if I actually use it and do something with it, everybody would know how good I am. But this won't make it. This won't hardly even make a difference. No one will see what I did. Why waste the effort? Because he doesn't reward the gain. He rewards the effort. He rewards the diligence. He rewards the faithfulness. Letter B. The slothful servant condemned the character of the master. That's dangerous ground. The slothful servant condemned the character of the master. You know, we do the same thing. This just didn't work, so it must be God's fault. This isn't coming out the way I want to come out. Must be God's fault. Well, if he had given me this, then I could have done it, but I didn't, so it must be God's fault. Number one underneath letter B, the master, quote unquote, this is what he's saying, the master's mean. Mean. M-E-A-N, mean. It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, harsh, fierce. You're just mean. You know what? I'm going to say this, I'm ahead of time. I have heard people say, well, think about all the people who die around the world. I remember when that big tsunami hit a while back and just came in and just kind of watched that. And that's awful. I mean, I'm not saying I understand everything. I said, well, if that's who God is, I'm not going to serve him. You know what they're saying? He's mean. Now, here's what I have to say. Then you don't know the master. See, the slothful servant didn't know the master. Oh, he was working for him. He was on the payroll. But he really didn't know him. If he knew him, he might have known that the master does what he says he's going to do. He may know that the master holds people accountable for what's given to him. But he said, no, that's not it. He's just mean. I remember years ago when I had grown up in a mainline denominational church, and you've heard the story, and I had, Jat and I decided we needed to move because the preacher there didn't understand, he didn't believe the Bible. I mean, he said, that's not true, that's a fairy tale that never happened, so forth and so on. And so we decided we were going to find a church that believed the Bible in case we ever had any kids. We wouldn't raise them in a place like that. But the craziest was, I'm very slow at making decisions. My staff have figured that out probably by now. I want to make sure I make the right decision. I hate to make a presumptuous decision. And as crazy as it sounded, I said, let's have the preacher over to find out what he believes before we move. Now, the fact is, you don't have to come here too often to find out what this church believes. Okay? He had been my pastor for 7 years, and I still wasn't sure what he believed about salvation. And so we talked, we chatted, and you've heard that part of the story. And he had heard that I was visiting an independent Baptist church and independent fundamental Baptist church, and all of a sudden he said, listen, Sterling, don't you go over to that fundamentalist church. They're vicious. vicious. I said, well, don't you just think they, you know, put more emphasis on some things more than you do? Nope, they're just vicious. They're just mean and vicious. Now, I hadn't met one of them that was vicious yet. He got a little bit mean once in a while, but I hadn't met any of those that was vicious. You know why they're vicious? Well, you know, this is what the Bible says, so that's where we stand. Bible says we ought to do this, and that's what we do. And the Bible says we shouldn't do this, so we don't. Vicious. That's what's going on here. Well, I knew you were a hard man, Master. I knew you're mean. It says a master's hard to work for. In fact, that master, he's impossible to please. No matter what I do, it's never good enough. Well, wait a minute. That's true. But God's not expecting perfection. God's desiring faithfulness. Listen, I know the song says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I owe him everything, and I could give him everything, and it would hardly be a hair of the weight of what he gave me. In fact, to even try to measure it almost seems irreverent, sacrilegious. Listen, God demands the impossible, and he, well, I'm sorry, I go back. He says, God demands the impossible, and he's not satisfied with the obtainable. Well, wait a minute. He's the master. And if, by the way, he'll help you do the job if you let him. Master's mean. Number two, the master is a menace. A menace. M-E-N-A-C-E, a menace. Well, you get or you take what you want, no matter what you say, master. So why should I bother taking any risk? Here it is, what little it was that you gave me to work with, because you go out and get what you want anytime. You know, you don't need me anyway. If you want to multiply your talents, you can just do it yourself. I mean, literally. Well, that's true. God could do it himself. God doesn't need us. He does not need us. And yet he lets us serve him. And you know as well as I do, we're not going to do as good a job as he would. But he rewards us for being faithful. I mean, how good is that? All you got to do is do right with all your heart. Just do right. So he accuses God of being a tyrant who takes unfair and uneven and takes unfairly, and he's even dishonest about it. Well, he just takes and steals, and you know. There are people who think so ill of God that they even blame God for their own failures and their own depressions. It's his fault. They blame God for pushing them into sin as if they had no other recourse. He's blaming God. Said, well, you just do what you want to do, and I'm stuck here. But let her see. The slothful servant discloses his own disrespect for the master. He discloses his own disrespect for the master. The verse says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou dost therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, watch this. Okay, so you're saying that I'm mean. In fact, I'm even a menace where I just take, even where I haven't sown, I go and get whatever I want. If this person has it and I want it, I just take it. I take it. So he's calling him mean. He's calling him a menace. And then he said, and so the master tells him, okay, if that's true, if I'm really so mean, and I'm so fierce, and I'm nasty, and I'm harsh, then it seems to me you would have worked all the more diligently to be a good steward so I wouldn't have to come down on you. If you really did fear me, you didn't fear me. You're just calling me mean. You're judging me, is what the master's saying. Listen, if God is that mean, well, then we ought to at least serve him out of fear, if not out of respect. He didn't fear him. I was afraid. No, you weren't. Because you knew the day was going to come when you're going to have to face me. You're going to go, here's what you got. It's not fear. It's disrespect. Well, I'll never be able to do anything to please God anyway, so I might as well not do anything. Big old meanie. That's not a good excuse. What he's saying is actually you have no respect for me as a master because you do not know me. Your problem is not me nor my fierceness, he's saying, but your problem is simply you do not care. Wicked and slothful servant. He says, I've given you a job to do, and I've given the assets and the opportunities, and I haven't given you more than you can handle. Now use it. And I will reward you as much as everybody else if you're simply faithful for whatever I gave you. Number five, rewards go to the faithful. Rewards go to the faithful. Verse 28 says, take therefore the talent from him and give him to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. In other words, if we are not going to make use of the assets and the opportunities that God has given us, excuse me, God will give those assets and opportunities to to those that will make use of it. Well, why do they always get to do this? Why does that? We spend so much time being jealous and fighting a few men over the position, over the job, when really we ought to just go ahead and do it. If your job is to be on time, but you're never on time, chances are, if the job requires being on time and you're never on time, then frankly, my guess is they're not going to hire you for that job if you've got to be on time to do it. You know, if your job to come in late whenever you can and kind of clean up. This, my first job was working at a soda fountain in a drugstore down in Hampstead. And Saturday I was supposed to go in and rip up all the boxes from all the stuff, that, you know, down in the basement. It was so wet down there, they actually had cut gutters in there and the water would run out, you know. And the critters would. Anyway, you go down there and you do that, and then my job was to clean up, was to scrub the floor behind the soda fountain. And so help me, if they dropped an egg or they dropped a slice of tomato, whatever it was, it stayed there until I cleaned it up on Saturday night. I only did it once a week. Anyway. But the fact is, if I'm never on time for that job, he's not going to give me the job of opening up in the morning. That would be foolish. If I can't be faithful in a few things, why should he make me rule over many things? Well, he said, well, if I'd had that job, I'd do that because that job's worth it. Every job's worth it. Our job is to be faithful in what we've been called to do. So he says, if we're not going to make use of the assets and the opportunities, he's going to give it to those who will. God will take them away, even if they are the ones who have, even if they are, even that one is the one you have and leaves you with nothing. He'll leave you with nothing. That's what happened here. God has a job to be done, and we need to do it. And if you won't do it, he's going to find someone who will. You ever heard the saying, if you want to get a job done, find somebody who's busy. Because that's somebody who's diligent and works. Find somebody who's busy. If we are faithful, letter C, even in many assets and opportunities, God will keep advancing you and give you greater assets and opportunities to use. Sometimes we wonder why there seems to be folks in the church who seem to have it all and others who seem to keep losing it all. God is willing to spread out the assets and the opportunities, but He's going to make getting the job done the priority. That's the point. Get the job done. This is why it seems sometimes that 10% of the people do 90% of the work and also get 90% of the blessings and the joy of the Lord. And you get folks that, well, if I had the blessings that they have, well, I'd probably serve them too. You see what I'm saying? Well, maybe we start serving him, we'll find out there's blessings. And we get faithful in the blessings, we'll start finding out he starts giving us more opportunities. Yeah, I wish we had in our songbook the old song, "There is joy in serving Jesus." You ever hear that? Ever hear the old song? Listen, we ought to have that. Listen, we ought to joy in serving him. Now, some folks have a heart for God and some just don't. He said, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given." Now, I think in that particular passage, letter two underneath there, I think it's talking about the Spirit. And thus a spirit of love and faithfulness to the Master. Now, this is getting a little, you got to, you know, some people have a little issue with this, but I think this is pretty good. Why did that slothful servant not do his job? He said, "Well, you're a mean and nasty guy." Now, if he knew Jesus, he would know better than that. I think he's saying he was in the business, but he didn't know the Master. I don't think the guy's saved. I think to him that has the Spirit of God, he's going to serve God. And God's going to use him more and more. Now, I think the principle still, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying because you don't serve, you're not saved. You might want to check that out. But I'm not saying that's the way it goes. What I'm saying is there is a principle, you know. So I'm saved and I'm not getting it. Well, maybe we should start serving and see what God does with it. But this man, he didn't even know the Master. The Spirit, if he had the Spirit, he would just have a spirit of love and faithfulness to the Master. This is someone who truly knows the Master and thus truly wants to serve him. You know, it's funny how people who serve cannot understand why others don't want to do something for the Master. You know what I mean? And those who have no heart for serving don't understand why others get so excited about serving. Now, we all sometimes kind of get overworked and those kind of things. That's why I say we've got to put it in reasonable. We've got to be reasonable about it. But it is very possible that the difference is in the heart. A heart that possesses God, knows God, and wants to do something for their Savior. A heart that doesn't know God and see God as, a heart that doesn't know God and sees God as harsh and unfair and unkind and unreasonable probably sees no reason to serve such a one. Number six, almost done. Reckoning, repercussions, and retribution goes to the faithless. Reckoning, R-E-C-K-O-N-I-N-G, reckoning. Repercussions, retribution. Watch this. Letter A, the slothful servant was not faithful. I think because he was not family. That's the word I'm looking for there, family. He wasn't part of the family. He didn't know the Master. Now hang on. Verse 30 says, not only did he have the opportunities taken away from him, but he says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're saying, I'm going to go to hell just because I didn't do what I was supposed to do at church. No, I don't think that's what it's saying. I'm saying we didn't do what we were supposed to do at church. He's saying here because he didn't have a heart for God because he didn't know him. And when it's all done, he gets kicked out. Now watch me. This phrase where it says, cast the unprofitable servants into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This phrase is used three times in the Bible. They're all in Matthew. And the other two times both refer to the unsaved. So I think most likely this does also. And I'm not going to read all those. Matthew 8:10 and Matthew 22. You go back and read. It's time to go home here. What I am saying here is we can go through the motions. Just like the 10 virgins. Some had oil. Some didn't have the oil. But all of them went through the process. All of them got ready for the wedding. All of them got all decorated and ready to go. But unless you have the oil, you don't get to go. And I think he says, the Bible says, by the fruit ye shall know them. And I believe that there's some folk, now I'm not saying everybody who doesn't serve is going to hell because they're not saved. I'm not saying that. I am saying we ought to search our hearts. So we will have to give an account how we use the assets and the opportunities that God has entrusted to us during the time God has given us while we're waiting for His coming. Whether we meet Him going through the undertaker or if we have to go through the undertaker, but we're going to face Him one way or the other. The reward is not meted out according to the size of the asset committed to use or the size of the profit. But the reward is meted out according to the faithfulness of the servant. And the size of our opportunity has nothing to do with the size of our reward. 1 Corinthians 4 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So, be discerning of the opportunities and the assets that God gives us to use. Make sure you know, listen, I could use that, or God could use that, or here's what I need to do. And then be faithful in the use and the investment of those assets and opportunities. And you be faithful, and God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I am not going to be judged for what you're supposed to do. And you're not going to be judged for what I'm supposed to do. But we will be, He will reckon with us each individually. So get to know Him. Find out what Daddy wants you to do, what the Master wants you to do, and then do it with all your heart. That's the way it works. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for speaking to us here this evening. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your fairness. Thank You that You give us the opportunity to serve. Lord, we have no right to be Your servant. You would do the job a whole lot better than we would. And yet You love us and allow us to serve You. And then You reward us even though we wouldn't do it as well as You do. But Lord, You reward us because of our heart, a heart that's faithful. Lord, I pray that You'll give us exactly what we need here this evening. Thank You for each one here. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.